As Louisa said, it is Christmas week, so have you been anticipating it? Waiting for it? Yeah, two people have. Excellent. Over the last 4 weeks, we've been looking at this whole idea of waiting because we find ourselves in the midst of Advent season. And the word Advent literally means arrival or coming. So something's coming, something's arriving, and it's big. And there's this sense of anticipation around it. And this really captures the tone and the feelings of the nation of Israel as they waited and longed for the original coming of their Messiah, which is the same Messiah who we celebrate at Christmas. So we've talked a little bit about the hope that is produced in that waiting. We've talked about the fact that we can find peace in the midst of the chaos of Christmas, and a little bit also of this anticipation of hope for a better future. And today we find ourselves celebrating the arrival of love, true love. Now think about it for a minute. If we can have that kind of anticipation and waiting just for Christmas, imagine what it was like for the nation of Israel. Try to put yourself in their shoes. Generation after generation, hundreds of years, people longing for the coming of the Messiah. And then this happens in Luke 2:8. It says this: "That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. 'Don't be afraid,' he said. 'I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all the people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger.'" Now, of course, because of all this anticipation that was building for the coming of the Messiah, many came to worship this baby, and they came bringing gifts. But you know, the greatest gift that was given was not given to the child. The greatest gift was given by the child. And that gift, of course, is love. See, God at Christmas gave us the gift of himself. And God is love. And so Jesus Christ is God's love incarnate, in human form. Perfect, unconditional love given to humanity, to us, by a perfect, loving Father. And so the day that God gave us that gift, everything changed. And today we're going to spend some time unwrapping that gift, if you will, and just trying to figure out how it can change us. So with that in mind, let's go to prayer. And for our prayer today, kind of like last week where Scott did an invocation, we're going to do an invocation where we invite God to reveal himself to us. And we're going to do it in the form of a responsive reading. So when it says leader, I'll read that. And when it says people, if you would read that. Let's pray together. Spirit of God, we call to you from the quiet, from places without voice, places where we are too tired to even cry. Spirit of God, we call to you from the quiet, from the longing of our souls, within the deep and empty, to wait for you. In this time of turning and turmoil, this time of unrest, to have God with us, God near us, to sit with us in this place. Come, be with us, breath of life. We wait for you, for the sound of your voice. Reveal yourself from your word, from the good news of great joy, to be near us and with us, even in this place. Amen. When we gather as a group of people like this, we do that. We invite God to reveal himself to us, as we just did in that prayer. And when you look throughout the Old Testament, you discover that God is constantly revealing himself to human beings. He revealed himself to Moses in the form of a burning bush that actually spoke to him. And of course, he revealed himself to the whole nation of Israel as they're traveling through the desert. And he appeared in this pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night so that they could follow his lead. There's a guy in the Old Testament named Jacob who God, in the middle of the night, revealed himself to him in the form of a man, wrestling with him throughout the night. But the ultimate revelation of God comes through the Christmas story, God's ultimate act of love, the gift of love. And so we're going to start today by looking at the revelation of love. The revelation. Do me a favor, if you would. Could you picture in your mind the face of a person who you know loves you? Could be the person next to you, your spouse, family member. Some of you are gazing into each other's eyes right now. I love that. Got that picture? Question for you. How do you know that person loves you? Is it because they tell you that? Ah, it requires more, right? It requires action. You know, if I say to my wife, Maria, "Maria, I married you 27 years ago. I told you I love you then. I'll tell you if it changes." Is that going to fly? Of course not. Of course not. Real love, true love, needs to be shown, doesn't it? Well, in 1 John 4:9, it tells us the nature of God's love. And this is what it says. God showed how much he loved us by sending his only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is what? Real love. It's not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. See, never before and never again would there be such a sacrifice. Do you realize there is no greater act of love than what Jesus Christ did for you and for me? Now, the book of Romans tells us that this is a free gift that God gives us and that we do not even deserve this gift. And it says this in Romans 5:8. Would you read these words out loud with me? But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. While we were still sinners, God's Son was born in order to become the ultimate sacrifice. And Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh, lived a perfect, holy life. And then he took your sin and my sin upon himself, and he went to the cross and he put it to death on the cross. And I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but Jesus did not only, you know, endure the physical pain of the cross, but he actually endured spiritual pain as he was separated from his heavenly Father in a spiritual sense. And he did that for us. Jesus puts it this way in John 15:13. He says, "Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." So God chose to reveal his love to us by becoming the ultimate sacrifice. And this, by the way, is why, as followers of Jesus, Christmas is a big deal to us. It's why we spend 4 weeks preparing our hearts for Christmas. It's not just because a baby was born and placed in a manger. It's because of who that baby was, right? And what that baby came to do, came to make the ultimate sacrifice for you and for me. Now, the people who had been patiently waiting for the Savior, they didn't even grasp the significance of this great gift. But you know, a gift isn't really a gift unless it's received. And so, secondly, we're going to look at the receiving of love. The revelation came through Christ, but there also needs to be a receiving of this love. Show of hands, how many of you have ever received a gift card for Christmas? Like to Outback or Walmart, that sort of thing. Gift cards are great, aren't they? How many of you have ever lost your gift card before you had a chance to redeem it? That is a bummer, isn't it? Hate it when that happens. You know, this Christmas, 72% of shoppers will purchase a gift card, either for a restaurant or department store, that kind of thing. But according to the Journal of State Taxation, would you believe the average American home has an average of $300 in unredeemed gift cards? These are gift cards that have been misplaced, accidentally thrown away, accidentally destroyed. And between the years 2007 and 2013, a period of 6 years, $41 billion in gift cards went unredeemed. Send your gift cards to me. I'll spend them, okay? A gift must be received. John talks about the gift of love that came through Christ in John 1:11, and he says this: he came to that which was his own, but his own did not do what? Receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of a natural descent, nor human decision, or a husband's will, but born actually of God. So, like an unredeemed gift card, many will miss out on God's ultimate gift. Not because the gift isn't wonderful, because it is. Not because it's not powerful enough, but because it is not received. And so I want to ask you today, you know, just to think for a minute as we head into Christmas week and there's so much talk of giving and receiving gifts, I want you to answer honestly for yourself. Are you in a position to receive from God this Christmas? And specifically, I want to address three different groups of people that I think are in the room, and I think each one of us is in one of these groups. Some of you have been coming to SCF for a while. You know, you've been checking out what God is all about, what church is all about, maybe coming with a friend, a family member. You maybe even like what you've heard, but you have never actually put your faith in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. There is this incredible free gift that God is offering to you, but you have never opened the gift. You have never received it. And so I want to ask you, could it be this Christmas, could this be the time when you finally acknowledge your need for God? And you admit that because of the sin in your life, that you do not meet God's perfect standard. There's a big gulf between you and this holy, perfect God. And you can't do it on your own. You actually need a Savior. You know, this would be the greatest decision that you could ever make. But you're the only one that can make the decision. Nobody can make it for you. And so if that's you today, a little bit later in the service, I want to give you an opportunity to respond to that. But I think this is kind of a bigger group in the room, the second group, and that is you have received Christ into your life. Okay, you have put your faith in him for the forgiveness of your sins. But if you are honest with yourself today, you don't really believe that God loves you. You might be able to say God loves you and just kind of intellectually, God loves the world, right? But for whatever reason, you do not feel loved by God today. And if that's you, I want to tell you, you are not alone. Okay, I have people in my office all the time. Scott has in his office all the time who struggle with this. And in fact, myself, as a person who occasionally wrestles with issues of depression, I sometimes struggle with this. And I don't know what it is. Maybe you have done something in your life that you have not forgiven yourself for. And because of that, you can't possibly understand how this perfect God could love you. I think for others of you, maybe the people who you love have abused that love, have abused you in some way. And so because love that you have given has not been reciprocated, you don't understand how God could love you. Some of you, like me occasionally, just don't like yourself, right? Or you're disappointed in yourself or whatever. I don't know what it is, but for whatever reason, you are not able to embrace that God actually loves you. And if that is you this morning, I think that is why you're here today. I want to challenge you today to embrace what is true about you. And that is God loves you. Regardless of your past, God loves you, right? Regardless of your experiences, regardless of your failures and your disappointments, God loves you. He's always loved you. He will always love you, and his love is unconditional. And in fact, he loves you so much, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, as we read before, to die for you. Do you realize that? If you were the only person on this planet, he would have done that for you. You're his masterpiece. You're his beloved, his child. You're his workmanship. And I want to implore you today to receive that because it is true. And it would be my hope that you would be able to view God the same way that David in the Old Testament viewed God. David was a flawed, imperfect human being. And yet this is what he says in Psalm 139, 17. Would you read these words out loud with me and read them, personalize them for yourself? How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. So again, if that is you, I'm talking to you right now. A little later in the service, I'll give you a chance to respond to that. But then there's the rest of us. Okay, you've put your faith in Christ. You know, you embrace the fact that God loves you. And I just want to ask you, could it be that God wants to give you something this Christmas? Have you ever even thought about receiving something from God as you go into this week? You know, I think often God is doing things for us, giving us gifts, and we just totally miss out on it because we're not looking for it. And so I want to challenge the rest of us in the room that as you head into this Christmas week with, you know, all the hustle and bustle that takes place, to put yourself in a position to look for what God might be trying to do in your life this week. If you look for it, do you think you might find it? Absolutely. So the revelation of love came through Jesus Christ. We have to then receive that love, but there also must be a response. And so lastly, we're going to look at the response of love. And to set the tone for this, we're just going to have a little bit of fun, okay? I'm going to ask you to look at your screen, and in this video, perhaps you'll find a Christmas gift for somebody this year. Check it out.
You know, I feel like I grew up around firewood. I grew up around wood. I grew up around wood-burning stoves, fireplaces. I feel like it's kind of in my blood. My name's Jesse Horn, and I am the founder of Smoke and Flame Firewood Company, North America's only premium handcrafted firewood manufacturer. I started Smoke and Flame in 2012 after growing frustrated by seeing poor quality firewood flooding the market. I wanted to bring craftsmanship back to firewood production. My criteria for sourcing logs is simple. I only source logs that'll give me the best firewood in the world. That's it. Each piece of firewood is unique. It has its own personality. It tells a story, which is something we definitely want to respect.
My name is Carl O'Brien. And I'm an apprentice here at Smoke and Flame Firewood. Working with Jesse is, he's an artist.
I will not sell a single piece of firewood until it is absolutely ready. And I don't care how long that takes. The way I look at it is, I wanted to incorporate a lot of the stuff they did in the old world with a lot of new and modern technology. Combining those two worlds, basically slowing down, putting in the time and craftsmanship into making a quality product. I consider myself a bit of a storyteller, but my words are wood. People just can't believe it's finally happening, you know? For so long, it's just been a pile of wood at a gas station. Now it's like, wow, someone's actually taking the care into the wood we're gonna burn. They love it. My name's Jesse Horn, and I make firewood.
Okay. You know that's not real, right? Okay. Why in the world would anybody spend so much time and energy and resources on something that's just going to burn? Maybe a better way to ask that question is, why do we? Why do we? See, the Bible consistently tells us that the things of this earth will pass away, that our accomplishments, our money, our possessions are going to burn. It talks about how God is going to refine our lives the way that gold is refined in the fire. And yet so much of our energy is expended on things that simply will not last. What is going to last? Well, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 13:13, he says, three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is what?
Love.
Love. The things that are going to last are acts of love. Now, Christ, of course, did the ultimate act of love. And then he asks us to respond. And our response to his love for us is to be love. 1 John 4:10, it says, this is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to do what? Love each other. And he says, no one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us and his love is brought to full expression in us. That's an amazing truth to me, that this all-powerful God, his love comes to full expression when we love. When we love. I would like to just share an example with you, tell you about a few people at SCF who are just very simply living this out. I don't know if you're aware that we have a meals ministry at SCF. It's a behind-the-scenes ministry. You would never know it existed unless you needed it. There are about 25 people involved in the meals ministry, and this is what they do. When somebody finds themselves in a significant crisis, our meals ministry will rally around them and hand-deliver home-cooked meals for a season to get them through whatever the crisis is. So it might be the loss of a loved one. And if you think about it, if you lose somebody in your family, the last thing you want to do is spend time cooking, right? And so the meals ministry will come and take care of that so that you can focus on grieving and helping one another grieve. Perhaps somebody has a significant surgery and they just get out of the hospital. So our meals ministry actually watches our prayer requests for those. And they respond by bringing meals. Or perhaps a significant illness that's incapacitating. Would you believe our meals ministry cooks and hand delivers, on average, 40 meals a month? In July, they did 62 meals. And you can actually double those numbers because there's always leftovers. But here's the thing that's amazing about this. These people purchase the ingredients with their own money. They spend their own time cooking the meals. They hand deliver those meals using their car, their gas, places like Cold Springs, South Reno, North Valleys. So these folks are sacrificing their own time and resources in an act of love for somebody they may not even know and probably don't even know. It's incredible. So what is the result of this? Well, the folks in the ministry are blown away by the gratitude of those who they serve because people just can't believe that total strangers would love them in that way. And I was talking to the leader of the ministry. Her name's Tadine. And she told me the story about a young couple who comes to our support groups on Tuesday nights. And because Tadine also cooks on our barbecue team over on Tuesday, she kind of gets to know the people who come in and out of the support groups. And this particular couple does not know Christ. They don't come to church. The only reason they're here is because of the support group. Well, Tadine overheard that they're going to go through a crisis because the mom in the family has to have this significant surgery and it's going to be a difficult recovery. And so she had the meals team rally around them and begin to bring them meals. These people were so significantly impacted by this. Now on Tuesday nights, the guy goes out of his way. First thing he's got to do is find Tadine and give Tadine a hug. They were going to have a baby, and they had a baby shower. And who did they invite? Tadine. And she had other plans. She broke those plans and went to this baby shower and is continuing to build that bridge and continuing to hold out hope that these folks are going to get connected with Christ. One of our staff members, Troy, recently lost his mom. And when his mom was in hospice, Troy's family and Troy's brother's family took turns taking care of her as she came to the end of her life. And our meals ministry began to bring them meals and for mom and for the families. And what you got to realize is Troy's brother's family does not follow Christ. Troy's been involved in the church for years, and he has prayed for them for years. And his brother and his brother's wife were so blown away by the fact that total strangers from his brother's church would come and serve them in that way. And so it's building a bridge that Troy's been trying to build for a long time. And see, this is what it means when God says God's love comes to full expression when we love. These people are experiencing God's love through the love of God's people. When we love others, it builds a bridge to the world. Jesus tells us this in John 13:34. He says, "So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world," what? "You're my disciples." It's the proof. Okay? Our love builds a bridge to the world. And that, by the way, is really what drives us as a church at SCF. JD was up here earlier talking about our Radiate initiative and why that's so important to us. And when we sat down to think about Radiate, we made a commitment to tangibly love our neighbors, the people in the 89431 zip code. I think I have a map of 89431. This is our direct sphere of influence as a church. And so we began to investigate, well, who are our neighbors? And we discovered, would you believe, one out of four of our neighbors are first-generation immigrants. Some of them have legal status, some of them do not, but they all experience very unique needs because they are immigrants. Language, culture, immigration laws, education issues, right? Employment issues. And I don't know if you've ever thought about this. I hadn't even thought about what might be the specific needs of immigrants in our neighborhood. So as we were sitting down picking reading plans for our Advent series, we came across this one verse in Deuteronomy. And it was actually for this week, for the week on love, this was our reading. In Deuteronomy 10:16, it says, and he's talking to Israel, he says, "So circumcise your hearts and stop being so stubborn, because the Lord your God is the God of all gods and Lord of all lords, the great, mighty, and awesome God who doesn't play favorites and doesn't take bribes. He enacts justice for orphans and widows, and he loves immigrants, giving them food and clothing. That means you must also love immigrants because you were immigrants in Egypt." Now, God is specifically talking to the nation of Israel, and he's saying, you know, you used to be immigrants, but more importantly, he's calling them to love, just as he calls us to love. And that's why we believe God has strategically placed SCF right in the middle of this neighborhood so that we can meet a particular need that we weren't even aware of. And you can be a part of these things. So I just want to share a couple of examples of ways that we're able to do this and you could be a part of. We partner with something called 360 Blueprint. It's a mentoring program. And what you do is you go in once or twice a week before or after school and you simply read to a child and mentor that child throughout the school year. This is one of the most rewarding things I have ever been a part of. And we're focusing specifically on Green Bray School, which is right across the street from us, and most of the kids that we work with, their parents are first-generation immigrants. So if that sounds interesting to you, we can always use more mentors. Just take one of those welcome cards and write 360 Blueprint. By the way, if you're interested in that meals ministry that I spoke about, you can take one of those cards and just write meals, and we'll get you connected with those. Second thing, JD mentioned that we're partnering with the Northern Nevada Literacy Council, but in addition to the book drive that we're doing, we're going to be doing some ESL and GED classes. And we're going to be doing those right here at SCF for the purpose of helping the parents to get better jobs. And so if that's up your alley, you can take one of those cards and you can write ESL on the card and we'll get you connected with it. And then finally, we want to work towards systemic change that tangibly improves the lives of immigrants in our neighborhood, including things like helping them maintain their legal status, things like that. And what we realized is, wow, we really got to get better educated about this. And so be looking forward to, in January and February, a couple of workshops that JD is going to do just to help us be educated around these issues and how specifically we can help them. So lots of ways that you can tangibly love our neighbors around 89431. And if you put your name on a card, JD would be happy to catch up with you and get you connected with those things. But I want to ask you this morning, okay, how are you going to love this Christmas? How are you going to respond to the love that God has given to you? And specifically at Christmas, could you put yourself in a mindset of noticing the needs of the people around you, maybe in your family, maybe your neighbors, as you go about your last-minute Christmas shopping? Could be something as simple as just bringing a book to our book drive so that a child can read a book. How are you going to love this Christmas? But of course, it's hard to give love when your own love tank is empty. It's hard to continually give unless you also receive. And so this morning, I want to give you an opportunity to receive. So Chris and the music team are going to come out, and we're going to close today with a song of receiving. And again, I want to invite those three groups of people to respond as Chris and the music team lead us in this song. We're going to have our prayer team up front. There's going to be somebody in the back if you would like to pray with somebody. But first of all, if you have never put your faith in Jesus Christ, this is something you could do today. And you could certainly do it right at your seat. You could just pray to God and say, God, I recognize that I'm a sinner and that I need your grace and I want to put my life in your hands. But our prayer team would also love to pray with you to receive Christ today. So feel free to come down and do that if you would like. Secondly, if you don't sense God's love today, if you don't feel that God loves you, I'm going to ask you during this song, just you and God, just let God's love wash over you. Listen for His Holy Spirit's voice to speak words of love to you. And then finally, for the rest of us, let's, as we sing this song, put ourselves in a mindset of anticipation, anticipating what God might do in our lives this Christmas. Sound good? Let's go ahead and stand together and worship God. Don't forget to bring a friend to our Christmas Eve services, Wednesday at 7, Thursday 4 and 6. Don't forget next Sunday, one service at 10 a.m., right? Let me release you with a benediction that comes from Romans 8. Go today and live in the reality that nothing can ever separate you from God's love. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither our fears for today or our worries for tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate you from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate you from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Have a great Christmas. See you guys.